From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. A primary qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness. When God's warrior marches forth to battle, strong in his own might, when he boasts, I know that I shall conquer, my own right arm and my conquering sword shall get unto me the victory. Defeat is not far distant. God will not go forth with that man who marches in his own strength. He who reckoneth on victory thus has reckoned wrongly. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. They who go forth to fight, boasting of their prowess, shall return with their gay banners trailed in the dust, and their armor stained with disgrace. Those who serve God must serve Him in His own way and in His strength, or He will never accept their service. That which man does, unaided by divine strength, God can never own. The mere fruits of the earth He casts away. He will only reap that corn, the seed of which was sown from heaven, watered by grace, and ripened by the Son of divine love. God will empty out all that thou hast before He will put His own into thee. He will first clean out thy granaries before He will fill them with the finest of the wheat. The river of God is full of water, but not one drop of it flows from earthly springs. God will have no strength used in His battles, but the strength which He Himself imparts. Are you mourning over your own weakness? Take courage, for there must be a consciousness of weakness before the Lord will give thee victory. Your emptiness is but the preparation for your being filled, and your casting down is but the making ready for your lifting up. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song.
Sing to the Lord, bless His holy name, alleluia, 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 sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, bless His holy name, alleluia.
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the law of God as he brings another portion of a message dealing with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In spite of the blatant disregard for it in today's world, this commandment of God is still in force. It is of divine institution, for God himself set the pattern at creation. Indeed, the injunction was in place before the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Furthermore, this commandment is moral in its constitution. It is not part of the ceremonial law that was rendered obsolete by Christ's sacrifice. Now, to continue this message on the fourth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Whatever God instituted at creation, even prior to the fall of man, is obviously not ceremonial. It is not transient, it is moral, and it is permanent. Thus you have the attempt to remove the institution of the Sabbath from the creation. But the scriptures won't allow it. It's beyond all doubt that Genesis 2 was speaking of the Sabbath. The text we read this evening in Exodus chapter 20 makes that very clear. The Lord is referring back in this fourth commandment to the creation week, and he's drawing the direct parallel, the direct identification between the day that he rested and the day that they are to rest. It was the Sabbath that he set up. We have read in Exodus 31:17, the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Furthermore, we read, the Lord sanctified this day. And then we read, the Lord blessed this day. Now the question is, sanctified it to whom? Set it apart to whom? Blessed it to whom? Certainly not to himself. Obviously, when he set apart this day, he sanctified it for man, and he blessed it to man. And the fact that and it's quite true, the Scripture is silent on the Sabbath day, from the creation right through to the time of Moses. The fact that there is no mention of that doesn't prove that the Sabbath, A, wasn't given, or B, was never known. It may prove that apostasy had set in. I mean, how many churches will you go to in America today to hear any mention of the Sabbath day? Does the silence of the pulpit indicate that God has abrogated the law? No, it doesn't. It just indicates backsliding. And it may do that in the book of Genesis too. But it's equally true, this is an inconvenient fact for those who make this argument, that between the time of Moses and the Kings, the book of Kings, there's no mention of the Sabbath day either. But nobody in his right senses believes that there was no Sabbath day between Moses and that period. For all those centuries, there certainly was a Sabbath day, whether it was strictly observed or not. You see, the silence of the book of Genesis does not prove that there was no Sabbath. When you turn to Exodus 16, you have an interesting thing. From verse 23 to verse 30, you have Moses, and this is before the giving of the law, you have Moses regulating how the children of Israel were to collect the manna. Remember, they were in the wilderness, and the Lord fed them with manna from heaven. Moses gave them this command: you collect manna every day, fresh every morning. Furthermore, if you collect more, if you try to get 2 days at once, by the time the next day comes, it will be stinking and it will be breeding worms. You must collect your manna day by day. I'm very tempted to step off there and start preaching another little sermonette. For every Christian should remember that you need the bread of God day by day. What a tragedy for Christians to be trying to get through today on last week's Bible study. You take the manna day by day. But then he said, when you come to the seventh day, you're not to go out at all. On day six, you gather twice as much, and God will keep it fresh. We read very clearly that they could not go out that seventh day, notwithstanding verse 20. Some of them hearkened not unto Moses, and so they went out. And you read on down through verse 23, they tried to get some of this manna on the seventh day, but it didn't work. Why? Because that was the Sabbath day. But hold a second. These people who don't believe that the institution of the Sabbath was at creation, they believe that it was a new law on Mount Sinai. But this is before Mount Sinai. And Moses is already talking about the Sabbath day as if it were something that was already well known. As indeed it was. And when he did come to give the law on Mount Sinai, the Lord said, as we have read, remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because it had already been instituted and enacted. So, I think you can see very clearly that there is here the truth that the Sabbath is a divine institution that reaches right back to the dawn of creation. Second, the Sabbath is moral in its constitution. I've mentioned John Calvin, the greatest of Reformed theologians. But John Calvin was wrong in how he dealt with the Sabbath. And I'm going to make that statement right up front. He was wrong. Not entirely, but largely. He saw the Sabbath as partly ceremonial. Now, there's no doubt, and we learn this from Hebrews chapter 4, that what Israel enjoyed in the Old Testament, in earthly terms, was a figure of the rest and the blessing that she would come to enjoy in Christ. But that does not make the Sabbath day part of the ceremonial law. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. What are these Ten Commandments? Are these Ten Commandments the ceremonial law? No, they're not. This is the moral law of God. And I wonder what gives anybody the right to come in and lift one commandment out of ten and say all the other nine are moral, this is ceremonial. I would love to know by what authority that is done. I don't like reading other people's sermons in the pulpit, and so I haven't brought this book with me tonight. But many of you will know that I searched and searched and searched until my friend Stanley Barnes was able to come up with the fruit that I needed of this search to get the volumes of Timothy Dwight's theology, great American preacher and theologian whose ministry was attended by almost constant revival as the president of Yale University. Now, I wish I had the temerity just to stand up and read you a page out of Timothy Dwight. Filled my heart when I was reading it. As the great orator and pulpiteer led out the evidence, there is nothing in, when you read these Ten Commandments, there is nothing here to set the fourth commandment off from the rest and make it any less moral. He pointed out by the same divine design, it was placed right in the middle of the Decalogue. It was spoken with the same awful, audible voice that came like thunder to the people gathered around Mount Sinai. In the midst of all those thunders and lightnings, the people of Israel heard God say, this is something that people don't understand. They didn't simply see what God wrote. This is the only time I know of in history when a great company of people actually heard God the Father speak. And they heard that awful voice say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I wonder if you had stood in that crowd, could you ever honestly persuade yourself that what that mighty voice of God the Father said was only ceremonial in the fourth commandment? There's nothing to suggest that. Not only did God speak it, but He actually cut two tables of stone with His own hands, and with His own finger, He wrote the ten words, and He wrote, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. When Moses broke those stones, God commanded him, prepare two other stones. And then God took His finger, and He wrote the same ten commandments. And once again He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, this fourth commandment was delivered by God in the same absolute manner as the other nine. And it has the same universal application as the other nine. Certainly, all nations benefit from this command, not just the Jews. This is not something tailor-made just for the Jew. It's not good for a Jew to rest one day in seven, but it doesn't matter for a Gentile. No, no. This is universal in its application. So the Sabbath day is divine in its institution, and it is moral in its constitution. Third, let me say that the Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. Now, all too many people look on the Sabbath as a cruel imposition, I admit that what the Pharisees did with the Sabbath was cruel. It was hypocritical. It was wicked. But it had nothing to do with the Lord's setting up of that day. The Sabbath, as the Lord gave it, was a gift. The Scripture speaks about the Lord giving His Sabbath. He gave it as a divine boon to man. In the Sabbath, the Lord gives man rest and refreshment. We have read in the words of our text the demand for rest. Exodus 23:12 says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Thine ox, thine ass, thy son, thy handmaid, the stranger, that they all may be refreshed. We have read already in Exodus 31:17 that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh He rested and was refreshed. The word refreshed is actually a lovely word. It's the Hebrew word that really means breath. It may give you the idea of spirit, but it's breath. When it says He was refreshed, it has the idea that we would express in English, He caught His breath. And that's why God has given the Sabbath. It's a gift of blessing. The Lord was careful to insist that man would be able to stop and catch their breath. As they were running through life and they had all the business of life to attend to, that after 6 days of labor maximum, then they would be able to stop and catch their breath. Not only so, He says this is true of the master, but it's equally true of the slave. And this is why the Lord enacted you're not even allowed to light a fire in your homes. And this, of course, was in the wilderness. That is not an absolute prohibition, as we'll see later on. There are times when the Lord does allow a kind of work on the Lord's day. But what the Lord is saying is, He knew human nature. Masters would say, we're keeping the Sabbath, but the slave will light the fire. The slave will go out and plow the field. The slave will go out and reap the vineyard. No, no, says the Lord. You will rest. You will catch your breath. But your manservant and your maidservant, even your very ox and your very ass, they must be allowed to be refreshed. This is my gift. He went even further in due course. And He taught that even the land had to be allowed to rest. And so He instituted a sabbatic year, and 1 year in seven, the land had to rest. So God gives it for rest and refreshment. In the Sabbath, the Lord appoints a day for worship. That's why He calls it My Sabbath. The rest time in the Sabbath was not a time of indolence. It was rest from work. But it was also a time for worship. Leviticus 23 verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. It's a holy convocation. What is a convocation? The word con comes from the Latin word cum, meaning with. Vocation is the Latin verb vocare, to call. It is a convocation. It is a calling together of the people of God. Another word for it would be assembly. It's a holy assembly. It's a holy getting together. It's a holy congregation. It's a holy meeting of the people of God to worship. That's the Sabbath.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.